सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
विचार वर्सेस 31-35 चैप्टर 3
एमे मतमिदं नित्यं एमे मतमिदं नित्यं अनुतिष्ठन्ति मानवाः अनुतिष्ठन्ति मानवाः श्रद्धावन्तो न सूयन्तः श्रद्धावन्तो न सूयन्तः मुच्यन्ते तेऽपि कर्मभिः मुच्यन्ते तेऽपि कर्मभिः एमे मतमिदं नित्यम् अनुतिष्ठन्ति मानवाः श्रद्धावन्तो न सूयन्तः मुच्यन्ते तेऽपि कर्मभिः एत्वेतदभ्यसूयन्तः एत्वेतदभ्यसूयन्तः नानुतिष्ठन्ति मे मतम् नानुतिष्ठन्ति मे मतम् सर्वज्ञानविमूढांस्तान् सर्वज्ञानविमूढांस्तान् विद्धिनष्टानचेतसः विद्धिनष्टानचेतसः एत्वेतदभ्यसूयन्तः नानुतिष्ठन्ति मे मतम् सर्वज्ञानविमूढांस्तान् विद्धिनष्टानचेतसः सदृशं चेष्टते स्वस्याः सदृशं चेष्टते स्वस्याः प्रकृते ज्ञानवानपि प्रकृते ज्ञानवानपि प्रकृतिं यान्ति भूतानि प्रकृतिं यान्ति भूतानि निग्रहः किं करिष्यति निग्रहः किं करिष्यति सदृशं चेष्टते स्वस्याः प्रकृते ज्ञानवानपि प्रकृतिं यान्ति भूतानि निग्रहः किं करिष्यति इन्द्रियस्येन्द्रियस्यार्थे इन्द्रियस्येन्द्रियस्यार्थे रागद्वेषव्यवस्थितौ रागद्वेषव्यवस्थितौ तयोर्नवशमागच्छेत् सौख्यस्य परिपन्थिनौ सौख्यस्य परिपन्थिनौ इन्द्रियस्येन्द्रियस्यार्थे रागद्वेषव्यवस्थितौ तयोर्नवशमागच्छेत् सौख्यस्य परिपन्थिनौ श्रेयान् स्वधर्मो विगुणः श्रेयान् स्वधर्मो विगुणः परधर्मात्वनुष्ठितात् परधर्मात्वनुष्ठितात् स्वधर्मे निधनं श्रेयः स्वधर्मे निधनं श्रेयः परधर्मो भयावहः परधर्मो भयावहः श्रेयान् स्वधर्मो विगुणः परधर्मात्वनुष्ठितात् स्वधर्मे निधनं श्रेयः परधर्मो भयावहः। Verse number 30 of this chapter 3 is considered to be the crux of Karma Yoga, the essence of Karma Yoga, what we call as the blueprint of right action. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmama bhutva yutyasva vigata jvaraha. The advice the Lord gives here as a summary is Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. In me, renounce all actions. Surrender all actions in me, in the Atma. Lord Krishna is not talking as Mr. Krishna here. He is talking as Atma, that we need to remember. With thoughts resting on the self, adhyatma chetasa. Like I told you, today the thoughts are all on the outside world. It is not resting on the self. So when he says adhyatma chetasa, means is talking about this witnessing bhav, the ability to be a witness. Nirashir, without any expectations. Nirmamaha, without mindness, without possessiveness, without attachment. Yudhyasva, fight. Yudhyasva in the context, as you should remember, the battlefield where Arjuna is asking the question to Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna is answering his entire Gita. So the context is the battle where the duty of Arjuna is to fight, and also being a Kshatriya, Lord Krishna says fight, which means action. So fight means action. Do your duty, act with surrender, with awareness of the self. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya means surrender, what we call as arpana bhav. And then adhyatma chetasa means awareness of the self, with awareness of the self, doing action with surrendering the ego and maintaining the awareness of the self. Free yourself from the clutches of expectations and possessiveness, attachment. With what I have acquired till today, I am possessive and I am expecting more. This is how we are living today. So he says, the basic fundamental thing is ego. Ego means edging God out, edging divinity out, edging totality out. When I assume a separate entity without realizing that I am part of the total, I am edging the divinity away, divinity out. This edging God out is called as ego. When I, out of delusion, consider myself to be this individual, separate from the total. So, out of that ego comes this feverish doing. So, he talked about three things. Vigata jaraha, nirmamaha, nirashir. Without fever, without fever, feverish doing. In fact, all these various modifications of desires are all fever only. When you get angry also, your body gets hot. When kama comes also, your body gets hot. All these are various forms of fever. So all these are energy suckers. They all sap your energy. And we cover up for the weakness with the ego. An inferiority complex guy covers up his inferiority complex with ego and shouts as if he is very bold. So exactly like that, we are covering up the wastage of energy that is getting dissipated in these lower channels of anger, jealousy, greed, excitement, attachment, expectations. So he is just saying, watch out where all your energy is getting dissipated. Conserve them. You want to fill the pot with water. It is not enough if you keep the pot under the tap and open the tap. You need to firstly make sure that the pot doesn't have any holes. Even if it did, plug all the holes. Without that, you cannot succeed in filling the pot. And what we are doing is, we are dissipating, our energy is getting dissipated in these lower channels. Therefore, only out of whatever little energy we have, we are doing the action. How can such action be productive? If you remember, in verse number 40, 41 of chapter 2, he said, when he introduced Karma Yoga as Buddhi Yoga, he said, in this there is no loss of energy. The energy gets lost when you do action without awareness. When you are aware, I have already given this example many times, I am just bringing it to your notice in this context. That is of that when light is there, no negative gets developed. You remember,
film role, what we call as negative, can only be developed in the dark room. The moment you expose the film role to the light, it cannot get developed. Similarly, all our negativities, anger, jealousy, what he calls the fever here, also he's talking about excitement and all that, they are all possible to develop only when awareness is not there. The awareness has been robbed away by the thoughts of the objects of the world. So when your thoughts have gone towards the objects of the world, which means material, physical, emotional, intellectual, in all these contexts, when the thoughts have come and they have drawn your attention away, you lost the awareness. That means you are not having Adhyatma Chetasa. When Adhyatma Chetasa is not there, you fall into this fever. The moment you bring your awareness back to Adhyatma, then all this slowly reduces. Without conquering this fever, it is impossible to totally surrender. And unless you totally surrender after conserving your energy and focusing on the present action, you will continue to get bound. Therefore, what he is saying, you need to finally surrender. Surrender means what? Like, for example, any part of your body doesn't make its presence known now. When something goes wrong with that part, then it makes its presence known. So whenever something you become aware of any part, that means there is something wrong. Right? So similarly, when there is ego, when there is no surrender, then I did this, I will do this, I am doing this, nobody does. These thoughts are all there. I am not surrendered. When you have surrendered, you simply keep quiet. That's what we mean by saying a person who is actually powerful, his mere presence makes us feel the power. The other fellow who lacks the power, he has to make sure that everybody
is aware
that he is powerful, or at least everybody should think that he is powerful. Therefore, what he does, before he comes, he sends the bodyguards and all these guys. You understand? He doesn't come straight. He always comes behind something. A person who is simple is always straightforward. Right? There is no. For example, if you have to call somebody, you can't get to that fellow because he's such a big guy. So you speak to the telephone operator. Firstly, when you call that company, they will have only lines and then they'll put you, the music will come. Please hold. Somebody's coming. Please hold. Somebody will answer here. By the time you get fed up, right? And then the telephone operator will come. Then she says, excuse me sir, I'm getting another call. And by the time she answers you, then you say, I want to speak to so and so. Then before you could finish, she'll connect. And then you realize it has gone to another place where the secretary or PA is there. And by the time you pass through the PA and finally speak to that fellow, only your dead body has a conversation. You know, it's like that. So, a simple, straightforward person directly comes online. So, this surrender means simply considering yourself as spoke in the wheel of life. No prefix, no suffix. Like Nike says, not just do it. They want to be a little polite, otherwise they would have said, shut your mouth and just do it. You understand? Just simply do it. Just like how everything in this nature is functioning. Nothing in the nature is making its presence known. A coconut tree is not waiting to get the award, CNN IBN's award or NDTV's award, that I am the best coconut tree who has produced so many coconuts. Nothing like that. It just goes on producing coconuts. Cow simply gives milk. Rose simply gives fragrance. Nightingale simply sings. So, everywhere the energy is filled and the overflow is the action. Right? The flower blooms when its energy gets overflowing. Coconut tree gets coconut when its energy gets overflowing.
Lighting your things when its energy gets overflowing. Because there is no dissipation. It is only in our human plan, human beings, species, that there is this energy dissipation which is due to the ego, complex and mind. And therefore, all our actions are all, executed with very little energy or no energy. It's not a blooming, it's not an overflow. You understand? Like dance. Dance comes when your ego is lost. You understand? Relatively speaking, it's a celebration. So action should become a celebration. That's what it means. By conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and directing it towards the higher which is within, and thus by being a witness and you surrendering to the total when you do the action, the action is simply done without any prefix or suffix, it gathers no muck. It is impossible to get stressed when your action is done with awareness, with surrender, with love. Your action is an expression of love. That's what he's basically saying. You just do it considering yourself as a spoke in the wheel of life, as a part. So, understanding that you are a part, you stand apart and act. So, if you want to summarize this verse, what he's saying is, understanding that you are a part from the relative level. And from the total level, you are the, from the absolute level, you are the witness. So from the relative level, you are a part. From the absolute level, you are a witness, which is a part. So, understanding that you are a part, standing apart, you deliver. Each and every action like this, then your action will not gather any karma. It is impossible to get stressed if you do not have the ego. If you act out of love. If you act out of awareness. Common example we have given is, when you are playing with your mala as you are talking, it gets down. But when awareness is there, you can remove it. So stress is not possible if you do action with awareness. Like you can't overeat if you are. We are aware while eating. So wherever the awareness is missing, then you get bound by that action. So therefore, how to conquer these things, to conquer these fevers of anger, jealousy, greed, all these fevers, you have to become little aware by watching them, by observing them as they come and go. Today, if you see all this come and go and again come, this repetition is there. You are not aware of this repetition. You don't understand that this is the cycle that is going on. You were angry and later on you became alright. Again you get angry, later on you became alright. This tamasha is going on and this tamasha will continue because when you are angry, you are not watching it. When the anger arises, you are not watching it. When the anger leaves you, you are not watching it. When the anger arises, if you watch, then you understand that you are apart from the anger. When the anger leaves, when you are aware, then you watch, then you understand that you are apart from anger. Therefore, anger will become ineffective. Greed will become ineffective. Jealousy will become ineffective. All this will not dissipate your energy. And that much energy you will have to spend in your action, to use in the action, to utilize it in the action. And that also when you do it with this attitude of surrender. So attitude ko theek karo, and with intellect maintain the awareness, and with the body you do the action. So body executes the action, mind develops the right attitude, and intellect maintains the awareness. Thus when there is an integrated action going on, that is called as karma yoga. So what is karma yoga? Karma yoga is integrated activity. Mind is craving for something, body is doing something, intellect is absolutely lacks awareness, then it is karma. Each in different directions. When the body, mind and intellect are all integrated, that becomes karma yoga. Now this is the summary that he gave, whatever he spoke till now about karma yoga, he is summarized in verse number 30.
Body, so you said action.
Body executes action, mind has developed the right attitude and intellect maintains the awareness of the self. So thus there is integrated action, which is the karma yoga. So this is the summary of karma yoga in verse number 30. Maintains the awareness. So verse 31. Eme matamidam nityam, eme matamidam nityam, anutishtanti manavaha, anutishtanti manavaha, shraddha vantona suyantaha, shraddha vantona suyantaha, muchyante tepi karmabihi, muchyante tepi karmabihi, eme matamidam nityam, anutishtanti manavaha, shraddha vantona suyantaha, muchyante tepi karmabihi. Yeme matam idam nityam arudishkanti manavaha. Manavaha, human beings, men, human beings, those human beings who constantly practice nityam daily, those who daily practice this teaching of mine, not those who simply chant this teaching of mine, those who simply mechanically go through the Gita, but somebody who consciously, daily put these teachings of mine into practice. These teachings of mine means whatever I have told till verse 30. Right? Those people who constantly practice this teaching of mine, full of Shraddha, Shraddha Vantaha, Anasuyantaha, Asuya, Asuya means fault finding. Fault finding. To raise unnecessary and trivial objections. I don't agree with you. I don't think so, what you're speaking is correct. Unnecessarily trivial. It means paraguneshu dosha drishti. In somebody else's goodness also, good quality also you'll find fault. He is there only with his proofreader's eye, you know. The proofreaders, I mean in that, there it is a positive thing in the sense, they have to find the faults. They are like that in life also, some people. And those people are called as people who suffer from asuya.
From?
Asuya. Asuya means cavilling.
Fault finding.
Complaining. All the time looking into the negative. You know?
Nothing is
said. He spoke well, but he didn't touch on this. All the time something other, or he didn't properly dress, he shouldn't have started the lecture like this, something other. They are coming there only to find fault. Deep inside they think they know, and only they know. They always know more. So how to, you know, it is impossible to talk to that fellow. In fact, Lord Krishna says, even the scriptures tell us that never talk to such guys, because they are not open. They are not there to listen. They are not having the right attitude. So, Shraddhavantaha Anasuyantaha. Without cavilling and with full of Shraddha, when you constantly practice this teaching of mine, those people, they too are liberated from actions. From actions means from the consequences of actions. The consequence of action is vasanas. Our actions gather impressions, because we do actions without awareness. Therefore we gather impressions, and the impressions will have to again manifest, and while we are acting, again we gather more impressions. All our actions are gathering more and more fruits, which are vasanas. So that is why we say the chronology of action goes like this. From vasanas, the impressions, the innate tendencies, come thoughts. From thoughts comes desires. From desires comes action. And now action doesn't stop there. From action comes vasanas again. Because while acting, we are not doing it with awareness. If you do it with awareness, simply whatever comes out leaves you, it has not been strengthened, it is finished, it doesn't gather again. So that is how you break the cycle. They keep saying break the cycle of samsara, break the cycle of samsara. Why this samsari cycle is going? Because the cause is being continuously strengthened. It goes on repeating. Seed is there, from seed comes tree, and from tree comes many more seeds. You understand? So you have to make sure that the action is executed, but the action doesn't produce vasanas. This is what we call the technique of right action. The vasanas are there. By not acting on them, by suppressing them forcefully, it is going to bring negative results, because suppression also is going to build vasanas. But while acting, when you lose awareness, then also you are going to gather more vasanas. Therefore, without suppressing, direct the actions and be aware while acting as he spoke, then the actions will not gather further vasanas. When the cause is removed, the effect is removed. This is how you break the cycle of samsara. So he says, those who practice this constantly, not one who is able to write various commentaries or give lectures where thousands of people attend and appreciate. Out of those thousand people, whosoever practices may benefit, but this guy who is lecturing but not practicing will not benefit. So he shifted the focus to what? To living the Gita. Remember, he shifted the focus to implementing it, living it, practicalizing it in your life. Simply reading Gita and forgetting, and next week before you come to the class, argument is there. I kept my Gita book here, who took it, I don't know. Because last week after the class you went and kept it there. So servant has kept it somewhere else, or somebody else has taken it away and kept it somewhere else. And then in a hurry you are searching for the Gita book. If it is like that, then forget it. Then what do you have to do? Eme matamidam vityam anutishtanti manavaha. Keep on chanting that. It's very simple. Eme matam. Matam means opinion. Krishna says, this is my opinion. This opinion of mine is not formed without any reflection on the shastras given by the great masters. Krishna's opinion that he is talking about here has been formed after proper reflection of the shastras that has been given by the great masters, and also after implementing in his own life and experiencing the truth. Therefore, that opinion has weightage, but still he says, my opinion only, with humility. So he says, this teachings of mine, this opinion of mine, this matam of mine, yene matam idam, this opinion of mine. Nityam anutishtant. Nityam, not weekly. Weekly I practice, sir. No. Nityam anutishtant.
But that also means here.
Tishta means standard. Anutishta, well rooted, well established. There should be no difference between what he speaks and what he lives. There should be no, confusion whatsoever. When you look at the person, you know he lives there. So he need not open his mouth and speak. It is said in Mahabharata, once the teacher was teaching all the Pandavas and the Kauravas together, the teacher said, don't get angry, don't speak like this. Something like this. So he said, all of you read this properly and come tomorrow, I will ask you what I taught you today. So next day when they all come, the teacher is asking, what did you all learn? Nobody is able to say anything. He gets very angry with it. He asks Yudhishthira, at least I thought you will say what I taught you yesterday. He keeps quiet, he doesn't say anything. And the teacher is really losing his cool and is getting angry with him. And suddenly he realizes, you are actually living what I taught you. Because he doesn't give any excuses, he doesn't lie, and he's not getting angry. Whereas I am getting angry, though I taught you not to get angry or speak lies. So, it is tishta. The word tishta means standing, establishing, living the knowledge. Even an ounce of knowledge is better than ocean of theory. In the Bhagavad Gita, Madhi Shankara says, Bhagavad Gita, Kinchita Gita, Ganga Jalalava, Kanika Pita. Even very little, even one verse, verse number 30, supposing you understand. It's not very difficult to, understand the meaning of verse 30, like I explained to you. Mayi means in me. Sarvani karmani sanyasya. Sanyas, you know, sanyas. Surrender. Sarva means all. Karma means action. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. In me renounce all action. Surrender. Adhyatma chetasa. Adhyatma chetasa. Keeping thoughts of the self, awareness of the self. Nirashi, you know, asha means? Hope, expectation. Nirasha, without expectation. Nama, you know, mindness. My, I. My, so doership. Nirmama. Yudhyasva, fight. Yudhya means fight. Vigata jwara. Jwara means fever. Vigata jwara means without fever. You will not forget this verse. Chant this 5 times, 10 times after this. It will go and soak in your brain. You don't have to carry the Bhagavad Gita book with you. Now you would say, okay, at least this verse I will try to live.
This is the entire thing.
Karma Yoga. That's what I'm saying. Don't worry. I did not understand this verse. No, don't worry. Don't even worry. A lot of people come and say, sir, I don't understand this verse. I didn't understand this. You already gone to verse number 31. But I did not. Simple. Whatever you understood. You haven't cleaned your house. And you say, there is so much dirt. Where do I start? Start somewhere. As you start somewhere, the things will become clearer to you. Let's start living. The focus here in this verse is live. But how? Shraddha. With Shraddha. What is this word Shraddha? Shraddha, a lot of people take it as faith or belief. It is much more than that. Much deeper than that. Much stronger than that. Much nobler than that. What is this Shraddha? The person who believes, I'm using the English word, there is no word equivalent to Shraddha in English. Therefore, we are using the word belief, I'm borrowing the word belief to convey something, so bear with me. This moment you say, I believe in God. How can you believe in God and have anxiety of future? Just answer this question. I believe in God, I have anxiety for future. If there is God, according to you, would He not provide for you?
If you actually believe, you know, He'll always do the best which is for you.
Absolutely. So on one hand you say belief, on the other hand you say I'm anxious also. I'm scared. Fear is there. Bhaya is there. Where there is bhakti, how can there be bhaya? Prema Pandurji sings this 2 lines. I think she herself wrote this, or I don't know. She sings this 2 lines very nicely. Re manu tu kahe kabura, tere saath bihari hai. Re manu tu kahe kabura, तेरे साथ बिहारी है. इफ यू रियली थिंक गॉड इज एवरीवेयर, तो हाउ कैन यू बी से. सो ऑन वन साइड यू से आई बिलीव इन गॉड, आई डू पूजा थ्राइस अ डे, 10 टाइम्स अ डे, आई यू नो कीप दिस फास्ट दैट फास्ट एवरीथिंग, बट आई ऑल्सो हैव फियर. It doesn't go together. So Shraddha is basically a deep thing where you don't believe in God, you know God. It's almost like that. The best way, best example, best story that conveys this point of Shraddha, I think we've discussed this also before, when there was drought in a country, the king called all his ministers to see, to think as to how they can bring rain. So the minister said, let us all conduct yajna. Yajna, when we conduct, it is believed that rain will come. So king said, it's a very good idea, let's do it. But somebody who knows how to perform yajna needs to be called. So the minister said, we will get the best person, and the best fellow came. The priest came, he said, of course we can conduct the yajna, so and so date is auspicious, we'll all assemble on the seashore and we'll conduct the yajna, etc. All the people should come, so you announce. He said, everything I will do. The king said, accept it. Now, one condition the priest said, what? When I am conducting the yajna, I will only start the yajna when I see at least one faithful heart, at least one person with Shraddha. So the king said, fine, that should not be an issue, because he thought he himself believes, so there is a problem. Everybody believes, that's why they are calling the priest. So everybody assembled, the priest did not start the yajna, including the king was there. So the king understood, according to the priest, that means we do not have Shraddha. So he's been waiting, waiting and waiting, suddenly he says, let us start. So everybody turns to see, who's come now? A very old lady walks in with an umbrella. You are saying we are conducting yajna for rain, but how come you are here without umbrella? This is Shraddha. So this teaching is definitely going to benefit me. That deep inside, if you believe in your subconscious, it is not the conscious mind believing, it is the subconscious mind. Because what happens to you is what you believe at the subconscious level, not what you believe at the conscious level. Your beliefs at the conscious level can be changed. You understand? Somebody comes and gives a little different logic, whole thing is finished, changed. So it is how deep and how, what are your beliefs at the subconscious level. So he says, let me try this also on Sina. They are saying Bhagavad Gita class helps, let me try. I believe, sir, that's why I am coming. No, if you did believe, then you would immediately plunge into practice. You will not go on asking people, did you benefit? Kitna benefit kiya? Acha? Kya kya difference dekha aapne in your life? But you say, no, I believe. I believe. You say, on one side you say, I believe. But on the other side, why you want to know all these things? You want to know? In fact, a non-believer is better. A non-believer may develop Shraddha, but a so-called believer may not develop Shraddha. Because the so-called believer says, I have belief. I do believe. This belief system that he claims to be having covers up for the lack of Shraddha, and he doesn't even recognize that. Whereas the other guy says, I don't have belief, I don't believe in these things, and that's okay. But it can happen to him one day. But it is very difficult to happen to this guy, the guy who's got this so-called belief system. So Shraddha Vantaha, one who has full Shraddha in the teachings of mine. And Arjuna is one such person who has complete Shraddha. Because of that, he chose Krishna, isn't it? He had Shraddha. Otherwise he would have chosen the army when it was offered to him. One side he said, I will fight without weapons. Krishna said that. On the other side he said, my entire army with weapons, weapons of mass destruction will be there. He said, you, I want you. Shraddha. So he says, Shraddha, anasuyantaka. Don't get into finding faults. Don't see how, not, what are mistakes are there so that I don't have to do this. He's not saying that don't raise questions. If that is what he's saying, then he wouldn't have answered Arjuna's question. So many questions. The entire Bhagavad Gita is question answer session only. Right? So he's not saying without questioning follow mechanically. He's just saying have that mind which is totally open with Shraddha. Then you can absorb it. Then you can receive it. When you don't even allow the thing to penetrate you, you have to allow it. Right? So, you have to allow the... You have to become a receptacle, basically. You have to receive the whole thing. So if you have this caviling mind, fault-finding mind, which is totally different from questionings, inquiries. So then, such a person is not qualified to receive. Therefore, he says, they who have this will not be able to help themselves, but those who do it with Shraddha and without cavilling, they are also liberated from all actions, from actions. From actions means, like I said, vasanas. The cause that binds them to birth. While living in this world, we gather vasanas. And these vasanas are there, therefore we keep on taking more and more births. In a simple way, anger is arising because it is there inside you. So we say, sir, he makes me angry. Mm-hmm. She makes me angry. Mm-hmm. This society makes me angry. These politicians make me angry. Vedanta says nothing like that is possible. All these people can possibly be conducive for the anger which is already there inside you to manifest. That also is questionable. But he is not making you angry or she is not making you angry. You are already having the anger inside you. The fact is you are not even aware that the anger is inside you. How are you going to clean up this? When you don't recognize the disease and understand that disease is there in you, how are you going to eliminate it? The moment you understand that, yes, I have this disease, then you are convinced that this disease has to be removed, and I have Shraddha that these medications that my doctor has given me will remove this disease from me. So I will certainly have these medications as prescribed by the doctor without faith. Nobody needs to remind you. Because you have accepted that I have this disease. And you want to eliminate it. But you have not accepted that I have this anger, the jwara of anger, the jwara of greed, the jwara of lust, the jwara of jealousy, the jwara of arrogance, the jwara of bhaya. I don't accept. How can you become liberated from it? So the first ray of awareness is the very recognition of its presence within you. Excuse me. The first ray of awareness is the very recognition of the disease, the fever in you. Then when it comes, you watch it. And when it leaves also, you are there standing apart watching it. Therefore, you will become slowly, slowly liberated from it. The fact that you have not intensified it by feeding it. Today, what are you doing with your anger? You are feeding it. Your jealousy, what are you doing? You are feeding it. And the so-called friends whom you have, they are also feeding it, because your ego thrives on feeding these fever things. Ego will be nothing without anger. Because you say, no, I gave him nicely, I feel better. How can you be a human being without getting angry looking at all these things? So you justify, right? Anger, hona chahiye. Because you always confuse with this to the state where somebody who has no emotions whatsoever. So you feel you have to be dominated by these emotions so that you can prove that you are a human being. Vedanta says, no, why do you have to get dominated by it? Need not get dominated by it. If you do not have it, insipid. If you have it and get dominated by it, animal. You have it under your control. So the liberation means you have control over it, and finally it is not there only. It's eliminated from your system. And that is only possible by becoming a witness, by making all these fever as objects in front of you. Today they are not objects for you. Your gunas are not objects for you. Isn't it? They just come, that's me, I am that. And the fact that you think I am that, it gets more strengthened. More, like how you take care of yourself. Somebody else is no problem, but the moment they say you are, immediately you take care of it. So you are taking care of this anger and all these things. Achcha achcha, thoda weak ho gaya, aur ka ho. So you are making the anger little more strong. You understand? You are making the jealousy little more strong by constantly feeding it. Different way people feed it is by resisting also. Why is it in me? You understand? So you go on feeding it, it becomes strong. You never get liberated from it. So the way to get liberated from all this, he says, is by developing the right attitude, by developing the awareness and functioning in life. There is no other method. If there is any other method, please try. So what is the most important word in this verse? Nityam anutishtanti. Anutishtanti, nityam anutishtanti. Daily practice. So if you have Shraddha in this, then you will be daily practicing it. So the test of your Shraddha is how much are you practicing it, how much are you living it. You are living, and knowledge should not be diverse from each other. That's all. Etve tadabhyasu yantaha, etve tadabhyasu yantaha, na anutishtanti mematam, na anutishtanti mematam, sarva jnana vimudhamstan, sarva jnana vimudhamstan, vidhinashtana chetasaha, vidhinashtana chetasaha, etve tadabhyasu yantaha, na anutishtanti mematam, sarva jnana vimudhamstan, vidhinashtana chetasaha. But those who carve at this teaching of mine and do not practice it. See, if you practice, what is the benefit? If you do not practice, what is the benefit? What is the consequence? For doing and avoiding, both you have consequence. You have to, if you go on a path, you will have a benefit. Or the consequence, whatever it is, you have to face. So, by choosing to live this, what are the benefits or consequences you will have to face? By choosing not to live like this, what happens to you? For example, Tuesday mornings, we have decided we'll meet every Tuesday morning for the Gita. Here. Tuesday mornings, there are people doing so many other things. Probably you are also doing so many other things, maybe business or something, I don't know. But not doing it, you probably lost few business. But I hope by attending the Gita class you gain something. Right? Those people who chose not to attend the Gita class and doing business, they are gaining something, they have lost something. Each one has to decide what they want to gain, what they want to lose. But every action will have some reaction, consequence. So if you do not follow this teaching of mine, what will be the consequence? It should not be taken as egoistic statement that I have said this, therefore you must follow. If you don't follow, I will finish you. Lord Krishna is sitting up the clouds and watching who is following, who is not following. Therefore, out of fear, don't come to Gita class. He is not saying out of fear follow these things. He is just explaining that this world is governed by laws and laws and laws. If you do not follow LAWS, what follows will be LOWS. You understand? If you do not follow LAWS, what follows will be LOWS. That is what is the implication here, what he is saying. He is simply saying none can break the law, one can only break oneself against the law. That's all he is saying here. Nobody can break the law. You can only break yourself against the law. Therefore, this is a law with awareness you gain and you don't get stressed or bound. Without awareness you lose, your energy gets lost, there is no, you lack direction, you don't, you get the contrary result, it's a total loss, you get stressed, everything is a loss, loss, loss. Therefore, those who carp at my teaching and do not practice it, deluded in all knowledge. To shine in any field, you need objectivity. If you just have skill but lack objectivity, you don't excel in that field. If you do excel, it only means others are also equally involved or more involved than you. Amongst the people involved, you are better off. But the guy who is objective, he excels. Lord Krishna excelled with gopis. He excelled in the battlefield also. Whether it is the art of love or whether it is the art of battle, in both he excels. Because for both to excel in any field, what is the main requirement, which is objectivity? So that is what he said. This teaching will give you the objectivity. This teaching will make you a witness. Sakshiba, the guy who has developed this sakshitva, he is the only one who is capable of being victorious in any field, whatever field it is. He doesn't get dragged away. The opposite of being objective is involvement. You remember that joke we say about to understand involvement. A guy was invited by his friends and relatives in USA for many years to come and stay and, you know, be with them for a while. But he was very busy businessman. Though he had got his visa for himself and his family, he couldn't go. In fact, many times he had booked and cancelled also, as he could not go. This time he was very determined, I'm going. He booked his ticket. He went to the airport 4 hours before. He is expected to be there 3 hours before. He went 4 hours before, checked in, completed his immigration formalities and everything, went around the duty free also. He had finished everything in 1.5 hours, 2.5 hours before the departure of the flight. He went inside and sat at the gate. 2.5 hours, yes, he doesn't know what to do. There he found a machine installed. which said, stand on me here and insert 1 rupee coin, I will speak the truth. Said what? Science has developed so much. I know about weighing machines where if I go and stand to give my weight. So what is this talking about? What is going on in my mind? It can predict or what? How is it possible? Let us see. So he went and stood on the machine, inserted 1 rupee coin. It said, you are Mr. So-and-so. You have come with your wife and 2 sons to board the flight to go to New York, which is yet to depart. Wow. My God. Science has developed so much, I can't believe. He went and sat down and he was lost in thoughts for almost half an hour. So then he said, let me check once again. Maybe this is some trick. So he asked his wife to go and stand on it. He said, you are Mr. So-and-so, you come with your husband and 2 sons to board the flight to go to New York, which is yet to depart. Again another half an hour, 45 minutes he spent in thoughts. Then he tried with both his sons one by one, after every half an hour like that. Again the same result. So he was really baffled. So he said, one last thing, let me go on it. He went on it, inserted 1 rupee coin. It said, you are Mr. So-and-so, you have come with your wife and 2 sons to go to New York. The flight is already departing. This is called involvement. We get lost. Somebody asks you to speak for 1 hour. You get involved, you go on speaking for 2 hours. You know, especially in debates and all, they have this bell ringing. First one will ring 5 minutes before. Second one, on dot time. Then they go on ringing the bell. The fellow, I don't know, maybe he becomes deaf or what, I don't know. He goes on talking. You understand? He gets involved.
Well, maximum is nowadays on the TV with that big battle going on.
That
is nonsense going on.
Nobody wants to listen.
No, just talk to
listen. This is some circus going on there. You understand? Now, objectivity is the key. The ability to be a witness, the ability to stand apart and view both victory and loss at equidistance. The ability to watch both joy and sorrow at equidistance. The ability to stand apart from pleasure and pain. Treat them alike. That is the crux. So those who do not do, they get deluded, they get confused, they get involved in all knowledge. They lack clarity in everything. Everything from start to finish is lost. It's wrong things they do. It appears as if they are doing the right thing. By the time they realize, it's too late. You know, many things that we do, by the time we realize that I shouldn't have done it, 25 years gone. Now it's too late. Example, marriage. It's too late now, forget it. So in other words, many things like that, senseless, deluded in all knowledge, senseless, know them to be ruined. They are ruined by their own lack of awareness, by their own lack of objectivity. You are not ruined by the object, you are ruined by your lack of objectivity. This is what we need to understand. Everybody believes that it is the object or the being that is ruining me. No object, no being can ruin you. You lose objectivity, you ruin yourself. The objects and beings are there for you to enjoy. But you, because of your madness, you get deluded by them and you involve. And then you say, oh my God, I'm bitten, I'm bitten, I'm bitten. You are bitten because you were initially smitten. Otherwise, this is not possible. Right? So, this is what they say. That senseless, they lack clarity. they choose wrongly. They don't choose wisely. Their discrimination is covered. Remember verse number 16. Now we are in 32. We finished 16 already. But few weeks have gone in between. And Diwali also came. So all sorts of things came in between. So I don't know whether you remember verse 16. So please go back to verse 16 and read the translation loudly. Yeah, you read it. Sure. Verse 16 ka translation. Same chapter.
He who does not follow here the wheel that set in motion, living in sin and rejoicing in the senses, he lives in vain, O Father.
Same thing is saying. He's still in the context. What he said, 14 and 15, he talked about the wheel of Yajna, right? Remember how from rain comes
food,
and from food comes beings, and rain comes from Yajna, and Yajna comes from the activities. Activities which come from Vedas, and Vedas have come from Brahman. By doing yajna activity, you go back to Brahman. By not doing yajna activity, what are you doing? In other words, when people are not doing any action, and you are free, what do you do? Agayur Indriya Ramaha. Find out, during the weekends, during weekend, what are you doing? When you are free, you are doing all actions that will finish you. It is like setting yourself on fire, but initially the fire has the tendency of making you feel that it is very cooling. I don't know whether there is such fire, but I am just giving an example. All these sense indulgences are like that. Throughout the world, weekends and vacations, what are we doing? Right? So the person, the moment you give some free time, you destroy yourself. Now what have we done? We have, which is supposed to be for the good thing, but it has happened to be for the bad. Like we never had the washing machines and things like that, we had to wash our own clothes. Now we have washing machines. Now that time that you had, you could use it for your development or something else. But what do? Maximum number of people, what do? That time, set yourself on fire. Meaning, destroy.
Maximum
by indulging. Right? You are blessed to be able to be driven by a driver when needed. But by sitting at the back, what are you doing? Proceeding. Tujhe pata usko kya ho gaya? You understand? Basically, what are you think that by gossiping, you are getting the kick, but what you don't understand, it kicks you.
You don't need God up there to punish. You do it to yourself.
This is what he's saying.
This verse is
deluded in all knowledge. You lack clarity, you choose everything wrongly. It is not only you are deluded, you do not know Bhagavad Gita. You do not know how to live, forget about Bhagavad Gita. A simple thing you do not know. You always go by things that glitter. Where there is so much crowd. Even supposing you want to go to a Bhagavad Gita class, you say, there are only 2-3 fellows are sitting. There are 10 fellows are sitting. Maybe there is something there. You understand? The way we choose things. Becha. Deluded in all knowledge. That's what he means. Deluded in all knowledge means the moment you lack this ability to stand apart, what we call as objectivity, you get deluded by the objects. So your delusion to the objects can only be conquered by your objectivity. It is inside. First thing we need to understand is, I must accept the problem lies within me. This is what he is trying to make Arjuna understand, and through Arjuna he is trying to make us understand. You are almost on the way of recovery the moment you recognize that the problem lies within me.
नहीं नहीं उधर है उसके वजह से हो गया स्टार्ट के वजह से हो गया देर इज समबडी देर हु इज मैनिपुलेटिंग अगेंस्ट मी दीज आर नॉट फेवरेबल इसलिए ऐसा हो गया Why don't you understand that you were not objective? You did not use your sense. And why don't you understand even now you are not using it? Even at least now if you wake up, you can make it. Every minute this choice is there with you. You are enslaving yourself more and more by not utilizing the choice positively. Every slave has a choice. To continue to be a slave or to come out of slavery. Out of my wrong choices, I got enslaved. Now by making right choices, I can get freed. Swami Ramakrishna says, a slave is a slave because he is free. You got enslaved because you were free to get enslaved and you chose maybe unconsciously to get enslaved and you think who will not get angry when a person talks like this obviously you get angry no who will not eat when somebody says please cow this is what they're saying So in other words, you are justifying them. When you continue to justify, Krishna says, even I can't help you. So he is just trying to tell you that dekho, object is there, you are only getting caught by it, not because the object wants to trap you, you lack the objectivity, therefore you get trapped by it. And you are already trapped by it because you did not have objectivity in the past. But now if you have objectivity, you can slowly get freed from it. Abhi bhi possibility hai.
But you will free yourself by strengthening yourself because you know it's your... It's something which is... You are lacking the objectivity and it's not something external. But to free yourself from it, it's not just concentrating on that. It's probably... You have to... Concentrate on something else which gives
which is the Atma
which is
understanding that you are not this body when we go on studying like this somewhere deep inside this objectivity is slowly happening in you you start understanding till probably you did not even have a doubt that I am the body or not and all those things now suddenly you know you will be like I'm saying correct. How can it be? You know, all these questions start coming. This itself is you are developing objectivity. But the thing is, when the object is in front of you, the objectivity is not there. Slowly it should happen. That even when the objectivity is in front of you, the objectivity automatically happens. You understand? It should not be that when you come in front of the objectivity is not there only when you study. That means there is something wrong in the way you reflect. If you reflect properly, if you do sadhana correctly, slowly whatever you reflected will start reflecting in your life when you are living it. Then the objects will not be able to enslave. So this is what he is saying. Know them to be ruined. Know them to be ruined means what? Their mind will gather more and more vasanas, more and more dirt. It collects so much dirt that one doesn't even know the difference between dirt and clean living. You know, after a while you get acclimatized. You get used to. A guy wanted to become a sishya of a guru and he went to the guru. A guru said, Acha, you want to become a Sishya? Tell me, why you want to become a Sishya? What is that you would like to become? He said, I would like to become a guru like you. Yeah. I want to become a guru like you. So therefore I want to become a Sishya first, learn from you and then make myself
to the stature of guru like you, and I want to be a guru, I want to be teaching. So the guru said, ah, very good, no problem, you can join, but I am not conducting 3-year, 5-year course and all. You have to join and be with me. That's it. It goes on and on. Are you ready? He said, yes, I am ready. Okay. Second condition, are you ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years? But absolutely fine. He was only 20 at the time. So the guru asked him, are you ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years? Which means still 45. So he said, that's fine. It's okay. If I'm ridiculed for the next 25 years, it's okay. So, but he was curious. So he said, what happens after that? He said, you'll get used to it. At a young age, you want to study Bhagavad Gita, man? Come on, life, today the opportunity is there. FDI, you understand, all these things are there, man. Why don't you use this opportunity? Don't get caught in these things, man. Are you with me? They'll ridicule you. See, it's very, very interesting. Weak people always need others to corroborate, validate their statements, their beliefs. A strong person doesn't require anybody. You believe that you are different from God. When a master will come and say, I am God. When he is saying, I am God, he is saying, you are also God only. So that I is not equating it to the personality. He is equating it to the Atma. He doesn't require any support. He doesn't require 10 million people around him to go and say, I am Atma, I am Atma, I am Atma. No. He is alone. He has no problem. But the other guys who have been believing that I am ordinary mortal. God Vahan. Oh, alag. He is the ruler. This fellow is not supporting my call, my understanding. Usko crucify karo. Usko eliminate karo. You understand? If everybody goes on saying, A for apple, A for apple, A for apple. If somebody else will come and say, A for arrow. Apple bolo. You understand? This madness goes on. So the guy who lives, he will always be ridiculed by people who are deluded. And when they ridicule, they don't even know that they are ridiculing their benefactor. And they have chosen the malefactor. And the benefactor, even when they are ridiculing, he smiles and he feels sorry for them. He helps them out. He works for them. How much ever I am ridiculing, the more you are working for me. So you are trying to change me. You have to be very careful with these guys, yeah? They are very, very dangerous fellows. You understand? The more you strive to run away. So, deluded in all knowledge, senseless, you consider the benefactors to be malefactors and malefactors to be benefactors. Things which are detrimental to be beneficial to you and beneficial things to be detrimental. All confusion again. And the confusion hone ke baad, who is confused, who is not confused, nobody knows. So, the fellows who are all confused, they think they are all very clear. The guy who is very clear, for these guys who are confused, that guy seems to be confused. Are you confused? Then you are starting to think. If you are not confused, if you are very clear, then I don't know what to say. But you know, this is what happens. When you lack that objectivity to stand apart, but everybody is doing like this. Is this the only way? Isn't there other way? You ask question, you pause and ask. See, Shakespeare didn't go to the higher education. But if you want to do higher education, you have to study Shakespeare. Now, we are not suggesting don't go to higher education. Very good, sir, I have been waiting for this only. That is not what is being said. In other words, we don't question what is the essential thing. Mechanically, you know, he is doing it, she is doing it, everybody is doing it, I should not miss the boat. Senseless. And this is how everybody goes up. Any small thing is senseless, mechanically you follow. One fellow will go and look at the river from the top of the bridge, like this. Then another fellow will also go. Then another fellow will go. Then by the time, everybody is stopping the vehicle, going and watching what is happening. Right? Nothing happened. He says, I just
wanted to see.
You know, something there. But nobody asks him also. They only presume. What for you came there? Nobody asks. Simply you, senseless, that I do not want to miss something that is happening in Delhi. You are going on your path, no? Why don't you proceed? No, no. Sabko mil gaya, mujhe kaisa nahi mila? I also have to experience. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.